You may remember a month ago or so, we looked at the book of 2 John for a message we entitled very simply, Truth and Love. Truth and Love. And we presented those as being the pillars, if you will, of the Christian experience. The two legs, if you will, of walking forward in Christian experience, speaking the truth in love and loving the truth. And because we love the truth, we love those that are about us in the local church. Because the local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, those of us who love the truth love the church. And these two concepts, truth and love, have been very meaningful to me. And in my own study, my own preaching here over the last number of weeks, and this year, I see as being something here in the church of a focus on these two concepts, truth and love. We explained the focus on love last week when we discussed our Bible study for this upcoming year, which will be to go in very detailed fashion, in very detailed study of 1 Corinthians 13. Starting with the very characteristics of love. What does it mean that love is kind or love is patient? What does it mean? What does love look like, particularly the agape love that God would have to characterize our entire fellowship here? And we still have certain things to work out and announce about the way that study will operate. We're excited about some of the ideas, but we are looking forward to that focus on love. What does love look like in the local church? What does love look like between a husband and a wife? What does love look like in our ministry and in our families? But there is still this other biblical emphasis of truth. Truth and love. Love and truth. And I have been thinking more about the need to really preach on some very basic aspects of truth. It was a good reminder for me when I was in Ann Arbor. The pastor there, Jonathan Barber, who has come in. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does there through that ministry. He made a very interesting statement in a message there. He says, you know, if we purport to believe something as a church and we never preach about it, maybe we should revisit that. Maybe we should figure out what it is actually we believe. And so in a variety of ways and in a variety of messages, my heart for much of this year is during our evening services, our time here together as a congregation, is to focus on very basic biblical principles, basic biblical principles of truth as it applies to various areas of our life. What does the Bible have to say about our prayer life? What does the Bible have to say about the way we dress? What does the Bible have to say about the way we comport ourselves in the church? What does the Bible have to say about some of the fundamental areas, practical areas of living? And as we introduce that idea of speaking on these basic truth principles, ones that we cannot afford to forget in our Christian lives, I think it will be helpful for us to step back for a moment before we get into those practical biblical principles and to have a little bit of review on what, or perhaps more appropriately, who is doing the teaching. You see, the wonderful truth that we see from the Word of God tonight in this passage we read, John chapter 16, is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room and making this astonishing statement to them. It is expedient for you, it is good for you if I leave. Now that must have just boggled his disciples' minds. How could it possibly be good for us that the one we have been following for the last 3+ years is now no longer going to be with us? You talk about losing your leader. You talk about losing your light. You talk about losing the one that you have relied upon. How can that be a good thing? And Jesus says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. course, it is very basic, I think, for most of us here to understand the blessedness, the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God. We're not going to look tonight at every aspect of that ministry. We're not even going to look at every aspect of a very specific ministry that the Spirit of God has. But my heart tonight is just to remind us, bring us into remembrance of some basic principles about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will focus on really verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, there's that word we've been focusing on, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. We're going to talk tonight on the subject, our truth teacher, and let us come into his classroom tonight, ask for his leadership and his direction as we open his book of truth tonight. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, that comforter who has come to teach us, to testify of Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ, and to guide the church of Jesus Christ into all truth. And Lord, we pray that tonight would be part of that work of the Holy Spirit in guiding us as the body of Christ here at Straight Gate Church into all truth. Spirit of God, would you be my lead tonight? Would you speak through me? I pray that you would hold me back from error. Would you hold us back from distraction? Hold us back from anything that would point us away from the truths of your word tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our truth teacher, the one who guides us into all truth. And we're going to start, first of all, by talking about the work of the Holy Spirit as this truth teacher, first of all, in the manual, what I'm going to call the manual of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, who is being spoken of there when he says the Spirit will guide you into all truth? Well, if we are to take the Word of God and understand the initial context of who it's being spoken to, who is being spoken to most directly here? Who is the you? The disciples. These are the disciples around Jesus in the upper room. These few chapters of the Word of God are called the upper room discourse. It is Jesus and revealing wonderful truths that will come and wonderful truths of himself and of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. So we're going to focus, first of all, on the application of this promise specifically to the disciples. I will guide, he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, notice something very interesting here, and what I'm going to call, first of all, partial truth. This is verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying this. You disciples, there is so much on my heart that I would love to share with you right now. There is so much truth that I would love to communicate and impart to you right now verbally. But he looks at them and he says, you're not able to bear it. And the idea there is of sinking down under a weight, under a load. He said, in a sense, as if the truth that I would bring upon you would almost crush you. It would almost be too much for you to take on now. And so he says, look at the connection here. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So there is a contrast here. I have things that I've just said to you throughout my ministry of 3 years, and there are things that I've just said to you in the upper room, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And then he says, I have more that I would love to communicate to you. He said, but you can't bear it. So you see, there is partial truth. Now, I remember when I was in the car with a man who was giving me a ride home from choir practice when I was at Duke. This was a town and gown choir, so you both had students and you had people from the community. This was a man from the community, and he was sharing with me his view that really, if we could just get back to the ethics of Jesus, if we could just get back to the things that Jesus had said, we'd really get it. And Paul just came on and messed it up. Have you ever heard that kind of interpretation of the Word of God? Paul was the one who put all these crazy stuff in there, but really the pure ethical teachings of Jesus Christ, that's what our life is supposed to be. This verse right here puts the lie to it. Jesus said, hey, you know what? I'm not telling you everything you need to know because you can't bear it. Don't go to the words of Jesus Christ as the sole revelation of who God is. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, when the Spirit comes, He's going to fill in the gaps. He's going to bring you into all the truth that I was only able to give you a partial revelation of. And so that's why we look to the entire revelation of the New Testament, not just the words of Jesus Christ. And that's why, second here, let's talk about perfected truth. Howbeit, but in contrast to this partial truth that I've given you, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, how was this promise fulfilled for His disciples, for the early apostles, including the Apostle Paul? It was that the Holy Spirit came to them and through them breathed all truth into this book right here. The very doctrine in the Reformation of sola scriptura, solely Scripture. Scripture is all we need for the practice and for living the Christian life. It contains all the principles of godliness that we need for our growth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. The Word of God is perfect. This book that we have right here. And who was the one who revealed that? It was the Holy Spirit of God who guided Paul, who guided Peter, who guided James, who guided John, who guided Jude, who guided Luke, who guided the apostles. If you go back into chapter 15, what Jesus says is, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you into remembrance all things that I told you. How do you think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were able to go years after the fact and say, this is what Jesus told us, and we can rely on it as the true and accurate sayings of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. He brought to remembrance the things of God. Now, this isn't new to the Holy Spirit. Why is this not new to the Holy Spirit? Because this is where all the Word of God came from. This is a review for you, but just for our remembrance, turn here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 1. Look at what Peter says in verse 20 here. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And the idea of that word interpretation there is origin, of any private source, of any that any one of these prophets were just standing up and speaking on their own like the Lone Ranger. No, here is verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the doctrine of the inspiration. That's why we say that Scripture is indeed God-breathed. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through men, both in the Old Testament and then now here in the perfected truth of the New Testament. But notice third here also, he speaks of prophetic truth. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Now, isn't that so true? We saw that this morning. The entire message this morning was based on something that is to come. The revelation of Jesus Christ through His servant John, by the Holy Spirit, was showing him things to come. Isn't it a wonderful thing, friends, that we have the blessing of the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth? It says here, He shall not speak of Himself. What does that mean? Some people have taken that to mean that the Holy Spirit is kind of the shy member of the Trinity. He doesn't talk about Himself. Well, that's not true. Because if holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, if it was God speaking by the Holy Spirit, how do we explain then when Moses said, yeah, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters? That was the Spirit of God speaking through Moses about Himself. about the Spirit of God. And really, what this passage is saying, he will not speak from himself. He will not speak as the sole source himself, but what he hears. In other words, his communion with the Father and with the Son will be the source of his words to us. We can have confidence that the Spirit of God moved to keep these words accurate and profitable for us. Now, we've seen then the manual. The manual in which this word, this promise that the Spirit would guide them, the disciples, into all truth, is fulfilled in this Word of God. He guided them into all truth that we need for living our Christian lives. But notice, secondly, the manner of our truth teacher. Because you might ask me, well, is this promise for us? Has he promised to guide all of us sitting here into all truth? Or was that simply a promise for the disciples, that he would guide them into all truth? Well, there is certainly here an application of this promise for us as well. Now understand, the promise as it refers to Revelation is closed. That's why the book of Revelation says, hey, if one person adds to this book or takes away from this book, there is a curse on that person. Because the Word of God, when it comes to revelation, new revelation from the Spirit of God, was sufficiently given in this book right here. And so how are we to understand our truth teacher to be working when it comes to be guiding us into all truth? I think it's very simple. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, which is truth, and applies the Word of truth to our hearts. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to illumine us to the truths of the Word of God that is presented in this book. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says in John 17, he describes the Word of God as the Word of truth. And then it says here that this is the Spirit of truth. So what's the ministry of the Spirit to us? To take the Word of truth and apply it to us. To interpret the Word of God to our hearts. Now understand, first of all, the prerequisite here, that the Holy Spirit is indeed the prerequisite for us. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 2, that's why Scripture says, but God hath revealed them, the deep things of God, the truths of God, unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Friends, if we don't have the Word of God if we don't have the Spirit of God, we will never truly be able to understand and interpret and apply the Word of God. Because it is the ministry of the Spirit that is a necessity to our understanding the Word of God. But understand also that this manner in which he does it is progressive. Scripture says, Jesus says here, that he will guide us into all truth. And the idea here, don't you see this picture of one taking another one by the hand and showing him the way and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, to quote the Old Testament. Now, Charles Spurgeon had a wonderful picture of this ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, and he likened it to a man in a cave with a light. And we think of these great caves with stalactites, and I won't say which one hangs down and which one goes up. Don't ask me about that. But you can picture this going through, and it's as if in this cave in which the natural man is only darkness, only sees darkness. The Spirit of God, if you will, guides us here and shines something to reveal some aspect of this cave. And then he takes us over here and he leads us by the hand and he says, oh, see, there's something else for you to see over here. And then brings us to this part here and holds up the light and shines light somewhere else. I love that, the encouragement of that verse in 2 Peter that says that we are to grow in grace. That God's work is progressive in our heart to shed light more and more. Do you know what that tells me? That it doesn't matter how long we've been in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved. Woe unto us if we think that we've got a grasp on truth. Woe unto us if we think we don't need to hear the Word of God preached anymore. We don't need to hear the Word of God taught anymore. We've got it. That's a very dangerous position. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God's job to take the principles of the Word of God that we have heard and bring light to apply them to our heart in a way that will open our eyes and say, whoa, how many of you, and you don't need to raise your hands because I trust it would be all of you, have heard a doctrine over and over and over again, and suddenly in a way it's preached or in a way it's read to you for the first time, it's like the blinders fall off in your eyes and it hits you right here in the heart. What was that? It was the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God holding up holding up the candlelight and saying, hey, look, there's something else for you to see here. And you said, whoa, I've read that for 40 years and never understood it like that. This is even the truth. This is the wonderful blessing, honestly, of being an elder, of being a teacher of the Word of God. I have to go into the Word of God, and week after week after week after week, I study the Word of God, and it's just like, whoa! I never saw it like that before. I never saw the depth of that before. Even this morning, the marriage supper of the Lamb, seeing the wonderful experience, what that event is going to be. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws us progressively into truth, and may we keep following that guidance. But I also want to point out that third, in this manner, his guidance of us is eminently practical. Practical. You see, it's the Spirit's job to take the principles of the Word of God and apply them to your conduct, to your daily life. You see, I think one area in which some facets of the modern church is very deficient is in the fact that we seem to have pretended that the Word of God doesn't apply to some areas of our life, that the Word of God doesn't speak to some aspects of our daily life. It doesn't seem to speak to what entertainments we have or what music we enjoy. It doesn't seem to apply to what we wear. And perhaps even some of us have bought into this where we walk through certain areas of our life simply by the natural man. Hey, what makes sense to me? What's everyone else doing? You see, the truth of the Word of God, as we explained recently when we talked about the Word of God being the lamp under our feet, being the light under our path, is that it's a very practical teaching. It's a practical guidance. Now, Jesus in chapter 17 of Matthew said, sanctify, he prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctification, friends, is eminently practical. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, the Word of God is intended to be applied to every single area of your life. Now, we've seen much discussion in recent years, particularly in the broader, we might say even the conservative evangelical church, about standards. Oh, standards, we don't believe in those things. We don't have those things. Those things are old-fashioned. But you see, what is a standard? A standard is simply an attempt to take the Word of God and apply it to a very specific area of your life. Now, in that sense, a standard is a wonderful thing. And we should all have standards. We should all have standards to say, hey, God, your principle says, I will put no wicked thing before my eyes. Okay, so God, what does that mean for this and that and that and that and that? And apply them to our life. That's what the Word of God is intended to do. Father, your principle from your word for how I dress is this and this. Okay, so how does it apply? Now you tell me. I'm so grateful for the teaching that we received from my father and from others. One of the things I've most grateful for in my father in my father's life was the willingness to take Scripture and try to apply it to every area of his life, to really act like it meant something, to really act like there was a purpose behind it, that it would mean something. And so this year, friends, as we focus on truth, the exhortations, God willing, from this pulpit will be take principle and apply it to every area, every single thing you do in your daily life, because the work of the Word of God is to be eminently practical. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness, daily righteousness, daily conduct, daily action. But the thing that we can never forget is who is the one who is leading us into this practical truth? Who is the one applying the Word of God to you? It is the Spirit of God. Now, let me make a statement, and we will perhaps explain a little bit later. Understand what I mean when I say this. It is not my job to apply truth to you. Did you know that? It is His job. It is the Spirit's job. And every single one of you have the Holy Spirit if you're in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you if you are in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who wants to take the principles of the Word of God that are taught from the Word of God and proclaim from this pulpit. And by your communion with the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, to apply those personally and practically to your life. You see, we get very, very in dangerous territory when we go to a man and say, hey, take the Word of God and you tell me, you apply it to my life, you tell me what to do, I'll just do whatever you say. It's a very dangerous territory. Why? Because the one who is our truth teacher is the one who's inside me and who's inside you. That's not to say that a teacher of the Word of God cannot teach the Word of God clearly in some areas, or even say where the Word of God has been applied to his heart. But we must be very careful here that we're holding up the Holy Spirit as the one that we're following, that we are looking to his ministry and his example. Scripture says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It is the sword, if you will, in the hand of the Spirit, is the sword that is used of the Spirit to apply truth very specifically to our lives. And we need to take that on as a very significant responsibility for each of us to say, Spirit of God, you have promised to guide me into all truth. So guide me. Apply your word to my heart. Show me how it needs to apply to every area of my life. So we've seen here the manual, the Word of God, that the Spirit led the apostles and those holy men of God to breathe all truth into this book, the manner of the Holy Spirit to guide us into that truth, to interpret and imply the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to our own individual lives. And third here, let's understand the method of our truth teacher. This is such a wonderful principle, this is such a wonderful promise. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. How does the Holy Spirit apply the Word of God to your heart? Now, there's many ways in which he does so, but the one that is held out for us so wonderfully here is that he reveals Jesus Christ to you. Do you know how much application you will find in the Word of God to your practical life simply by seeing who Jesus Christ is? Simply by seeing what Jesus Christ did, his attributes, his characteristics? The Holy Spirit's work is to glorify Jesus Christ, hold him up high so all of us look at him and say, that's how I'm supposed to live. That's how I'm supposed to walk. That's how I'm supposed to talk. His work is to glorify and honor Christ. Now let's unpack this a little bit. First of all, talk about the person of this method. Who is the person? He shall glorify me, Jesus says. Now let's see if we can start looking at how this all connects together. Sanctify them through thy truth, Christ said. Thy word is truth, the word of truth. We have here the Comforter is going to come, the Spirit of truth. And then the Spirit of truth will glorify who? Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say of himself in John chapter 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know what the work of the Spirit of God is? To hold up the one who is the truth, such that we may apply the word of truth by the Spirit of truth. They all work together. Now, we sometimes see here, and pastors who have been in the ministry for far longer than I have heard this, of someone coming and saying, hey, the Spirit of God really showed me that I could do this thing in direct contradiction to the Word of God. That's not true. If you hear today say, hey, I'm going to go commit fornication because the Spirit of God told me it was okay, you're a liar, because the Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. Let me also tell you something. The Spirit of God will never lead you in opposition to the example of the Word, of the Word Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the truth, cannot be contradicted by the Word of truth, and he cannot be led into contradiction by the Spirit of truth. The truth is all as one. It is united. And so the person that the Spirit glorifies is the one who is truth. The Word, the Logos of God. Secondly, let's understand here the pattern of this method. The pattern of this method. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and his life revealed truth to us. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the very stamp, the very image of God in human form. He is God in the flesh. And so when we see an attribute of Jesus Christ, it is an attribute of God and is therefore the truth. Now, we think of Paul's heart in the epistles. Remember, we preached a while back on what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 when he said, for me to live is Christ. Remember, he said, my earnest expectation and hope that Christ will be magnified in my body. You see what's going on here? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I that's living, but Christ liveth in me. Now what's he saying? He's saying the pattern of the Christian life, the purpose of the Christian life is Christ likeness. That wonderful hymn says, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. That is our prayer. For me to live is Christ. And so do you see why the Spirit of truth holds up the Christ of truth in the Word of truth so that we may be guided into all truth? Now, friends, what an interesting way, isn't it? And this was just appeared to me. What an interesting way to seek the application of the Word of God by asking the Holy Spirit to lift up Jesus Christ to us. Now look at it this morning. We can preach about what Scripture says for husbands and wives when it says, husbands, love your wives. But Scripture doesn't give off, okay, 8 steps to loving your wives more, 10 steps for wives to submit themselves to their husbands. There's no how-to manuals. It says, hey, husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Don't be harsh with them. That's what it says. But what happens then when we open the Word of God to the story of blind Bartimaeus this morning and we see a wonderful example of what true love looks like when Jesus Christ gives of himself, stops what he's doing in his tracks, and sacrifices for a blind beggar. And then we as husbands say, oh, I guess that's what it looks like to love my wife. I guess that's the characteristics that should be seen in my life. And then the Holy Spirit applies that example to our hearts and said, hey, maybe you should start acting like this. Maybe you should apply truth here. That's how you should act towards your wife. Do you see the example of Jesus Christ held up high glorified, revealed, is what we look at, and suddenly the principle of the Word of God is applied to our heart by the Spirit of God. John 15, and immediately the chapter before this in verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." That's his job. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to take this Word of God and in every chapter from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament to hold up Jesus Christ, to glorify Him and to honor Him. And as we look and as we read and as our eyes are opened to the image of Jesus Christ, as we view the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Christ, what does 2 Corinthians 3 say? We are changed into the same image. We are changed in the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory. Friends, that's what the Spirit does. He wants to hold up Jesus Christ to you. He wants you to see more of Christ through your Bible readings. He wants you to see more of Christ through the preaching of God's Word. Now, does that mean that every sermon needs to even speak only from the Gospels? No, because the epistles are holding up Jesus Christ. They're part of what Jesus said when he said, "Hey, I have much more to say to you, but you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll bring you there." Do you know what the epistles are? They're simply what Jesus wanted to get out to his disciples, but now the Spirit did it for him. That's what the epistles are. They hold up Jesus Christ. The Old Testament as well, Jesus said in Luke 24, "Hey, all these things, the law and the prophets, they spoke of me. They testified of me." The Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible lifting up Jesus Christ for us. That's why third, we understand here the method of proclaiming. The proclaiming, "He will testify of me, he will glorify me." 1 Corinthians 12, we looked at that last week. Something very interesting here. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 3, Paul says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." What's he saying? Because the work of the Holy Ghost is to glorify Christ, no one can speak by the Holy Ghost and put down Christ. And if someone puts up Christ truly in word, that person must be speaking by the Holy Ghost. It is his job to glorify him. Now let's just close here with a few thoughts, a few principles I think we can derive from this. What does this say, first of all, about our preaching? What does it say about our preaching of the Word of God? If it's the Holy Spirit's job to hold up Jesus Christ and glorify Him such that we can view Him as our example, that we can make much of Christ, that we can have that statement of Paul to say, "For me to live is Christ," that's the work of the Holy Ghost, doesn't it suggest that our preaching should be eminently Christ-centered, Christ-focused, lifting up the gospel, not simply the gospel of how one is saved, but the gospel that applies to every area of our lives? Friends, the preaching that you hear from this pulpit should not lift up and glorify a man. It should not lift up and glorify a man's thoughts or a man's structure or even a man's application. What it should hold up is Jesus Christ for us to see. Jesus Christ revealed throughout the Word of God, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to your hearts. Doesn't it also suggest one way that the Holy Spirit wants to move through your individual Bible readings and quiet times? That again, over and over, as we come to the Word of God, we're not coming simply to receive good thoughts or good insights. We're coming to see Jesus Christ lifted up. We're saying, "Show Jesus Christ to me, Holy Spirit. Show something about Jesus Christ that I didn't know before. Show me an attribute of His character that I missed to this point. Guide me into all the truth I need to know about Jesus Christ, so that it can be said of me that Christ truly is living in me and being seen in and through me in my behavior." Friends, let's take a very close look at this truth teacher tonight. The Holy Spirit desires to guide you into all truth that you need to live your Christian life. And He desires to do it by glorifying Jesus Christ in your life, putting Christ as the center of all that you do, putting Christ as the head of what you do. And when we come into that place where truly Christ is everything, where Christ is all to us, where we are considering what entertainment to indulge in, or music, or whether we're asking what to wear, or what it is, we know Christ. We know Him. We know what He loves. We know what He does not. And therefore, the Word of God can be applied to our own individual lives. Friends, this year, may we come into this classroom even in a greater way. May we come into the classroom of the Spirit of truth, applying the Word of truth by glorifying the Christ of truth, that we may be led and guided into all truth. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Lord, what a blessing it is, and we ask that even tonight, You would be leading and guiding us into all truth. Father, Your Spirit needs to be the one to lead us there. Our natural mind will never take us there. And Lord, I pray that we would not lean in any way to our own understanding as we interpret Your Word. But Lord, rather, may we continually be coming to the Spirit of truth, asking for His guidance, and seeking to in a new way, see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's take a few moments now, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus Christ to us as He would have us. O Spirit of God, continue to guide us into all truth we need to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.